The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
Hello! Welcome to Laughter Permitted. We're so glad to spend some time with you. I'm Julie Foudy. This is Lynn Olzowi. Hi, Lynn.
Hey there, Jules.
This is a special episode because we were IRL, as my kids say.
In real life, that's right. We recorded this interview at the ESPNW Summit NYC. We had donuts, we had squeaky toys, a live audience.
It was heaven. And we had an awesome guest, three-time Olympic medalist, freestyle skier Eileen Gu. She won gold in free ski big air, gold in the half pipe, and silver in the slope style. And she was not only golden, she was historic. With those three medals, Eileen became the first freestyle skier to win three medals at a single Winter Olympics. She is also now the youngest free ski Olympic gold medalist in history and the only female free skier to have won each major pro level event. So that's World Cup, X Games, World Championships, and now Olympics. Eileen grew up in San Francisco, California, and is heading to the fine institution of Stanford University in the fall. Whoop, whoop. She is also a model, a pianist, a great student, and as we already know, a really good athlete. Mind you, she is 18 years old. Incredible. So get comfortable listening. It's Eileen Gu. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on trailblazing women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. Kick back. Eileen, we are just thrilled to have you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a fun event. And there's donuts and everything. The vibe is high. Like, everything's amazing.
The vibe is high.
The vibe is hot. Yeah. The vibe is hot.
Do you want some of these donuts over closer to you?
No.
As it seems like it's
after.
A little bit selfish, honestly.
No. It's all you. It's all you.
Yeah,
I'll dig in after.
I am going to start pounding them.
All you.
I have a tendency
to do
that.
Your time to shine.
Before we start anywhere, let's start with the hard-hitting stuff.
Okay.
You were at the Met Gala on Monday.
I was.
Let's go. Give it all. Okay, come on. Where do we start? How was it?
It was super fun. I went with Louis Vuitton. It was an amazing time. We had a really great family vibe. We showed up all in this van. It kind of felt like a school field trip, actually.
I did see. Wait, do we have the party bus pic? Can we throw that up?
Oh, my God, yes.
I did see the party bus.
You have it?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yes.
It's on your Insta.
Exactly. And so we were all, I mean, I was on like a party bus with Emma Stone, Joe Jonas, sorry. Oh my God. Joe Jonas, like Hoyeon, everyone was there. I was like, okay, this is the craziest field trip in my life. Yeah, field trip to the Met Gala, I guess. We show up to the carpet. It's like a little posse moment. The food inside was fantastic.
Oh, interesting.
We had this hamachi starter. We got steak. There was like this chocolate mousse moment. It was good.
I think with that crowd, it would be steak. Okay.
I had a great time. I was chowing down, you know.
Was there a particular celebrity encounter that would make all of us go, oh, wow?
Oh, my God. There were so many, like, amazing people from all these different fields there that I actually, like, wasn't really expecting. There were other athletes there. There were actresses, models, politicians. Like, the whole crowd was, like, insane. But, yeah, I think just the overall the vibe was high. What was really crazy about it, though, is that when you're there, everyone seems so normal, and you're just, like, walking down the hall. You're like, oh, there's Bella Hadid just going to the bathroom. And I'm like, am I washing my hands weirdly right now? Like, what if I'm, like, see her in the reflection mirror? I don't want her to think I'm weird. You know, so it's, yeah, it's fun. It's really casual, actually.
Okay, what was your outfit? We're just going to spend the whole podcast.
No. I was wearing...
Yeah, we're going to see a picture of that too, I hope. Yeah.
I was wearing this black leather mini dress from Louis Vuitton. That one was spring, summer 2017, I want to say. So I was 13 when it walked the runway, which is kind of crazy to think about. But... What was really awesome this year is that it was a sustainability concept. So we were all wearing looks that had been seen or had been walked before. So we're not making new things.
Got it.
And we're styling them in different ways and showing our creativity that way and kind of finding the freedom in fashion, which I thought was really fun and really expressive and really personal.
I don't know about y'all, but I was not doing Met Gala at 18 years old. I was like in a mullet, swear to God, full mullet. I had to wear these big earrings because everyone thought I was a boy. And I was like, yo, no, hey, I'm a girl. full earrings, eating Cheetos on the couch. So that's a different 18-year-old experience.
It's style, though. You have your own style. You have your own vibe. Like, hey, everyone's got it.
I do. Okay, second most important question. Let's talk Stanford real quick. Just okay. Real quick off the
yes.
top. What made you want to go to Stanford?
So, a couple things. One, I was born in San Francisco, and I always joke that San Francisco is like fake California. Because you think of California, and you're like, oh my God, it's so warm and sunny and beaches. But like, it's foggy year-round. The temperature is the same. And Stanford and Palo Alto, it's got like the warm weather. It's got a beautiful campus. My mom went to business school there, so I think that...
Yeah, mom! She's in the house today, too. Yen, where are you?
Oh, no. The spotlight.
Come on,
moment.
Yen. She didn't want to be really seen. Nervous. I'm like, Yen, you're going to be seen. Yes. Oh, there she is. Yes, she's Yen. Mom. We always have to recognize moms.
Of course. She's having her little mom moment with like her phone. She's like, you're doing great, sweetie.
In the green room, she's like, honey, fix it. Like, oh my God, I'm having a mom moment.
But yeah, I'm super excited. And just the community aspect, you know, to be surrounded by really amazing people and future world leaders and pioneers in their own field, movers and shakers.
Movers and shakers, exactly. Smartest in the world right there at that fine institution.
Exhibit A right here.
I mean, you literally just got back to the United States.
Yes.
You stayed in China after. And I post-Olympics, I don't know if you went through this, but I used to get the Olympic blues, they call them. You know, it's like you have all this energy and everything in your focus is towards this event. And then afterwards, it was like this the Olympic blues, this like post-Olympic depression. Did you get that? Or were you like, oh, hell yes, I am just so glad that's done because that was a lot of pressure.
That is such an amazing question because I feel like only people who are really in the industry or like really have that experience can understand it. And you're so right. I mean, I was prepared for it because I'd heard about it before, and I'm really into psychology. So like reading books on, you know, how the brain works and adrenaline, right? And like the way that our cortisol levels crash and that makes us prone to sickness and things like that. But it was so different than what I expected. I think that it was more a opportunity, one, to learn more about myself and see who I wanted to be and what I was after skiing in that one moment and who I wanted to be and what I wanted to create. And so it had this newfound purpose for me to find a new direction and like a new purpose, kind of. And so in that sense, I've always said that when you're skiing, it's the most personal form of expression. I'm doing it for myself. I do it because I love it. I'm breaking my own boundaries. I'm learning about resilience. I'm forming friendships and all of that amazing, all of those amazing things that come with skiing. But after the contest is when you actually do something with it. So you can win all the gold medals in the world, but when you just get home and put them on a table, you know, they just gather dust. But what if you take that platform that you get from sports and you do something with it? You talk to the young girls, you go meet them, you do charity events with them, you make moves on social media, and things that you can do to play your part in the next generation, which sounds crazy for me to say because I'm 18. But what I mean by that really is representation is so important. So important, especially in extreme sports, right? Mm-hmm. When you think of like extreme sports, a lot of times it's a guy or a little bit older than me or a different race than me, whatever. And so being able to be a young girl sitting at home watching TV and seeing someone on TV that looks like you or talks like you or has similar experiences to you, it really changes what you think is possible for yourself. And so I think that that is so meaningful. And there's something so deeply rewarding and and just giving back. And so I think that that's kind of what I've learned from the post-Olympic depression. But another part of it is actually rediscovering your love for the sport. Because I think in like the final months leading up to the contest, everyone's like, oh my God, Olympics, competing, it's so intense. But then afterwards, you're like, okay, the contest is over, but the sport is still here. Yeah. And it's still mine, and it's still a piece of me, and it's still a way for me to express myself and to be me and to have fun, honestly, right? Sports are supposed to be fun. And so I'm really excited to get back on snow in a week or two.
Oh, we are going to talk about for sure. Let's go back to that representation, because on that note, your dual heritage, both Chinese and American, grew up, born and raised, as you said, in San Francisco, California. But you would spend the summers in Beijing, where your mom is from and grew up. And so you're fluent in Mandarin, fluent in English, know both cultures well. Take me back to 15-year-old you, which is crazy, is only 3 years ago. 15-year-old you, and that moment where you said, I'm going to represent China for this Olympics, and how that all played out.
Sure, yeah. So like you said, I'm fluent in Mandarin. I grew up in China for the summers. My mom was born in Beijing. And so for me, I think that sport has undeniably changed my life, right? It has built character. It has built resilience. It has allowed me to be physically and mentally healthier. And it really has given my life so much passion and purpose. And so I think that in China especially, a lot of people had never even heard of free skiing, especially at that point before the Olympics. And there were so many amazing female role models in the U.S. that I grew up watching. And I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I want to be just like them. And then I was competing with them. And it was crazy. It was such a surreal moment to just look next to me at the start gate and be like, wow, you know, I grew up with you on TV. Would it be, like, inconsiderate if I, like, snuck a selfie right now? But, yeah, and so I think that there wasn't someone like that in China. And especially with the Olympics being in China, there was a lot of viewership going into it. And China had set the goal of getting 300 million people on snow before the Olympics, which, I mean, that's a massive number. That's like the entire United States. Like, that is incredibly lofty goal. And so I was just thinking, you know, I want those people to be in free skiing. I want those people to be able to have those benefits that it's brought me. And I want them to hear about it for the first time from a young biracial girl. And I think that that is so meaningful, because the first time you hear about something, it can make or break it. And if it's from someone that you find relatable, or that you find represents you, then you're more likely to be like, okay, if she can do it, then I can do it. And if she can break her own boundaries, and if she can make herself better and better, and if she can have fun and smile the whole time while doing it, then I can too. And in that way, I've always said, if I can just inspire one young girl to start skiing and to kind of change her relationship with sport in that way, then it is so worth it. And so now reading those messages online or meeting kids at events and things like that, every day it just reinforces that belief that my decision was worth it. And and I'm really, really, really happy with the way, how far we've come. It's I think 346 million people on snow now in China, which is absolutely insane.
So they surpassed their goal. 346 million people?
Correct. Yeah.
Could you have ever anticipated that your decision would become so highly debated, contentious, and become part of almost a media circus?
Well, I don't think that I expected really that. But I also know that everybody has their own opinion. Right, and I think sometimes when people don't know a backstory, or if they don't understand where I'm coming from, or a lot of the time people just choose not to listen. I can say 100 times, I'm doing this because I want to inspire more young girls in sport. I'm doing this because I want to introduce kids to free skiing, and I'm doing this to represent my and my mother's Chinese heritage. And if people don't believe that, and if they want to be like, she's doing it for XYZ, I can't do anything about that if they're just imposing their own thoughts, right? And so my response to that, and what I've really learned from that, is that I'm trying my best to make the world a better place in my own way. So right now, that's through sport. Right now, what I can do at the immediate moment is to introduce more young girls to free skiing, and to hopefully make their lives and to make sport culture better in that sense. If people don't like that, and if there are people who don't agree with me, like, that's totally fine, right? That's the beauty of being able to have that discussion. But they can feel free to make the world better in their own way. Like, if you don't like this way, awesome. Like, you guys can go do something
you
else.
You do you.
You do you. And we can approach it from different situations, and the world benefits because of it.
Yeah.
So
Watch that first press conference over there. And I was like, wow, like, it just kept coming and coming, right? And then at one point you said, hey, look, I'm just an 18-year-old trying to live my best me, right? Like, live my best
I
life.
I think I did say that, yeah.
And I think, yeah, but also you're 18. And two, you're in the middle of one misstep, one misstatement with two countries that are having geopolitical tensions on top of it. That had to have been hard. For you in that situation with all the pressure on it.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Like you said, I'm 18, right? Like, I haven't even started college yet. I'm fresh out of high school. And people are, like, trying to make me this, like, geopolitical figure. Like, I don't have the power to, like, change two countries every.
You kind of do, Eileen.
I'm just trying to.
Don't undersell yourself, sister.
What I mean by that, I think, is I'm just trying to do what I can, and a lot of things are out of my control, and I think instead of stressing about that, I just want to focus on my own message and on my own positivity and making myself better and making the world better in my own way. Mm. And that's kind of all I can do.
Right on, sister. Right on. This had to be one of the highs at the Olympics, because I go to that first event for you, which was the free ski big air. And you've even said this wasn't your...
It was not the strong suit.
Yeah, strongest event, no. Right, of your three disciplines. And so can you take us to that moment where you're about to go on your third jump?
Sure.
And all that entails, and
let's
maybe this phone call as well. Take us
let's
to that.
All right, the scene is set.
Scene set for me, please.
The curtain's open. Okay, so I had agreed with my mom the night before that I was not going to do this trick called the 1620. And this double quirk 1620 pretty much means your hips go over your head two times, so double, and then you're spinning 1620 degrees in rotation. So one spin is 360. So this is 4.5 this.
I'm dizzy already.
Exactly. So that's kind of the trick. And the way I was doing it was, if you think about writing, right, you write with your right hand or your left hand, you have a natural direction of spinning. So for me, this trick would have been my unnatural direction. So it's like the equivalent of writing with your left hand. So I had agreed with her that no matter what, I wasn't going to try this trick. I'd never done it on airbag. I had never done it on a trampoline. Normally, you'd do like an airbag or like a trampoline, you know, like the previous steps, the prerequisites. But I hadn't done any of those. I hadn't even tried it on any of those, let alone land it. Yeah. So I agreed with her. It was too dangerous because, like you said, it was the first event of three. And I thought it was too dangerous. It was putting the other ones in jeopardy, blah, blah, blah. So we decided that wasn't going to happen. And then I landed my second run, and I was in third place, and I called my mom.
And this is on top of the hill, by the way.
Yes,
before
exactly.
You're in third place, this is your last final jump.
Everything comes down to this. So I'm guaranteed a medal, but I don't know what color, and we're dropping in reverse order. So it goes me and then the two girls who are in second and first at that point. So I don't know what they're going to do either. So I call my mom, and I'm like, okay, Mom, I'm going to do the 16. And she said, why? We said we weren't going to do it. And I said, my whole life, pretty much, ever since I was 11 or 12, I gave my first speech on women in sports when I was 12.
I've seen it. Yes. It's so good.
Thank you. I was like, yeah, this is Eileen.
It was on Title IX.
Title IX is important. Yes. Exactly. But yeah, so I said, my whole life, I've been talking about women in sports. I've been talking about representation. I've been talking about how important it is to break your own boundaries and to show the world what is possible. Only that way can we be pioneers, and only that way can we make the world better one step at a time. And so I told my mom, I said, I've been saying this my whole life, and now is the biggest moment. There are so many people worldwide who are watching, and I want to show them that the only failure is being afraid to try. Mm. And so even if I didn't land it, I knew I'm the first person in the world to have landed this trick. But I knew that people would say, oh my God, you know, she tried this insane trick. Like, what was she thinking? You know, that was crazy, blah, blah, blah. And so that's closing the gap between women and men skiing. It's representing young women on the world stage, and it's representing the sport. And so I kind of said to my mom, you know, I've said this my whole life, and now is my time to live up to those standards that I've been setting. And she said, why are you thinking that right now? Like,
that all sounds great, honey, but not
she's
now.
She's like, why are we getting philosophical on, like, you're about to, like, risk your life. Like, girl, what are you doing?
I was wondering, how dangerous would it be to do that?
Incredibly.
This jump is ginormous.
It's ginormous.
20
yeah,
stories high.
Yeah.
You, like, launch off of it like a friggin' rocket ship.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think it's, like,
that's what I'm thinking as a mom.
You're in the air for, like, around 70, 80 feet. Really, to this, where from you take off to the landing in terms of horizontal distance.
Yeah.
And then if you take into account the parabola, which we're not going to get into, but you know, like, you know, it's a further distance. And so my point being, she was like, okay, you're in this incredibly dangerous situation. Your life is quite literally on the line.
Yeah.
Why are we getting philosophical? And I said, no, I think that this isn't really about me anymore. It's about something much bigger than the self. And she was like, okay, if you say so. So I said, Mom, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
Oh, yes! How did you take that, Jen?
And I'm really close with my mom. You know, we always have a lot of really great discussion, and I lean on her a lot. So I almost never say things like that, but I think she has that respect and that trust in me to be able to believe in my decision. And so she said, okay, be safe. And so that was the story.
Gosh.
That's how I did it.
Wait, let's unpack all of this a little bit more. Do you always call your mom before a jump?
Yeah, most of the time.
Oh, really? You can just do that?
Yeah.
And have a conversation?
Because I have headphones in. So I can just be like, hey Siri, call mom. And then it calls mom. It's perfect.
I never got to do that, right? From, like, you know.
Like, it's cold. I don't want to take my hands out. So it's, Figured out a great system. And then also, it'll like read the texts in your ear. So sometimes I'm like in the air and it'll be like, from mom. I'm in the lodge having beef chili. Do you want cheese on yours? And I'm like upside down. Hey Siri, text mom. So yeah.
Okay, and on top of the fact that you need this jump to win the gold, the thing that really gets me, like the pressure of that moment, I love these moments where you look at what an athlete does in these moments, because most athletes and Olympians, they need to win quite a few gold medals before they have all these endorsements. You came into this Olympics with 25 plus corporate sponsors, right? Like so many endorsements. You're a model, you have all these brands. So you have all of that pressure on top of it, the host country wanting to win. You're 18 years old, let's say it again. All of this, maybe that's it. It's like youthful ignorance. It's like,
I don't think ignorance is a word that applies to me in here.
Youthful bliss, let's go.
There we go.
How do you get to that mindset in that moment?
Well, it was actually pretty crazy because of COVID, crowds were very limited. And so actually all the spectators had to like go through quarantine to be safely in the bubble. And so it was all local crowds is what I'm getting to. And so they had like photos of me in the crowd. They had my name in these big letters. And because the arena for Big Air is the smallest, I could hear the announcer. And so when I was standing at the top, the announcer was like, and here's Eileen Gu, her last try. All the pressure's on her. This is the only opportunity for her to step up her ranking. She's the local favorite. The whole country is watching her. The whole world is watching her. Like, she's like coming into this. What will she do? And so it just kept going and going. And I was like, oh my God. Like, hey Siri, turn my music up. You know? So, and then I could hear the crowd. It was deafening. It was definitely, and so what I mean to say there is there was absolutely pressure and there were absolutely expectations, and I knew that incredibly well. But that is exactly why I chose to do what I did. I was talking to my mom after I said it. I think that if I didn't have that level of viewership, I don't think that I would have taken that immense risk. It was actually because I knew that moment could have the possibility of making a profound impact beyond, you know, the color of a medal. That was actually like the last thing on my mind. It really was a moment that I thought could define my character. It could define people's recognition of women's sports or of free skiing. And so I thought that, yeah, because I have this amazing platform and this amazing opportunity given to me by the Olympics, that I better use it. You know, and that kind of was my thought process.
Okay, so you're going down.
I'm going down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay.
You take
There's
off.
Wind in our ears.
Yes.
Right? There's wind.
Mom's text is running through your mind.
I'm like on airplane mode. When I'm in the zone, I'm sure you know, it's like this incredible flow state. And what I mean to say by that is it's this rare and beautiful complete focus, where your entire mind and your entire body is dedicated to this one goal. And so for me, when I'm in the air, I actually hear the wind in my ears as kind of like a rhythm. And so if you imagine like flipping and spinning, when you spin one rotation, you can hear that in your ears. And when you flip in a way, you can hear it. And so if you're spinning faster or slower in the air, in the beginning, you start really fast, and then maybe you slow down a little and you have to wrap the spin again. So you speed up and slow down. And so I'm like playing that over and over in my head. I visualize a lot at the top. And then dropping in, I just hear that on repeat, almost like a soundtrack. And then I'm in the air, I hear it, I feel it. I land. I'm still in this flow state. So I'm like, okay, spot the landing, land. Land. Like, oh my God, like, land, right? It took me like a second to realize that. And so I ski down and then I'm just screaming. It's hysterical. But I think I'm crying. I think I'm screaming because to me at that point, the score hadn't even come out yet. But to me, it was about doing something that I never thought was possible, really to come down to that last moment of pressure and to break my human limit. Like, I literally had never attempted anything even close to that. It was 540 degrees above my previous rotation.
Right.
So normally when you learn a new trick, you increase by 180. Like, if you're landing forwards, you spin a little more and land switch or backwards. But this one, I went from my biggest spin in that direction, a 1080, and I added 1.5 full rotations to that spin. So, like, I'm fully, you know, breaking past what I thought was physically possible.
Oh, yeah. Let's give it up for that.
Thank you.
That takes a lot of damn courage in that moment to make that decision. And poise. How are you so poised in so many areas? And how did I miss that class as a kid? Because, I mean, I see you do speeches, and I mean, you're very poised for 18.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Where does that come from? Mom, take credit. Yeah, take credit.
My mom is great. She's, like, I don't know. She's incredibly level-headed, so I think that part of that definitely comes from her. My grandma is very confident. She's probably the most confident person I know. She's actually never been wrong in her entire life. So she,
of course,
she's got it all figured out. But yeah, I think coming from a strong family of empowered women and being able to have those amazing role models early on has been super important in my formative years. And now I think actually having the freedom to choose what I love to do. So my mom and I have this really amazing and unique relationship where she respects my choices. She lets me have that freedom to explore and the freedom to fail. And I think that that's something that's really beautiful. And what that has actually caused is allowed me to foster my own joy in a path of my own choosing. And so when that spark ignites, it's all she can do to, like, stop me from just going and going and going, because I love this thing so much and I have these goals that are my goals. And all she does is help me and support me in order to get there. But I think what the biggest gift that she's given me is this, like, genuine passion, and allowed me to find that genuine passion. Yeah.
So spinning forward.
We're back to the movie.
Yeah, spinning forward.
Yes.
You're going to continue to ski. I know you're going to Stanford,
okay,
but you're going to
yes.
continue to ski, right?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It's a okay. 4 years is a long time for me.
I know. Can I just selfishly, as a Team USA athlete, say that there's still hope that maybe you'd put the red, white, and blue on, or is that not?
I don't even know what I'm doing next week.
Dang it! I knew it. But you're still gonna ski. You're still gonna compete. You think?
I think so. I'm going to go to school this fall. I'm going to see what the schedules are like. I want to be a full-time student again. I've actually been a full-time student my entire life, and I became a pro athlete like a year and a half ago. I graduated high school early. I was the first person in my high school's history to graduate early, and then I did that in order to have more time to train for the Olympics. And then I took a gap year on top of that. So that was the year and a half, or I guess 2 years now, that I've been a pro athlete. But before that, I was weekend warrior. Like, I would ski on the weekends. My mom would be driving there and back.
So just the weekends?
Yes, and then I would go to school Monday through Friday. So I think I'm going to go back to that right now. I'm going to do Monday through Friday school, go skiing on the weekends, and then see if I can do, like, one or two contests.
Ski on the weekend.
Weekend warrior Eileen Goo. I'm going back. We're going to make a show out of that.
That's representing fantastic. All the weekend warriors here. All the core skiers are like, what is she doing right now?
Wait, she just comes here on the weekend and she's kind of good.
I just like feel like I confess to like a sin. Like, guys, you don't know this about me, but I'm actually a weekend warrior.
I know that you're pretty good at competing, and I know, as we've just heard, you're really good under pressure, but let's see if we can put the two together for the big Lynn game. Eileen, you know this is my only competitive outlet now in life, and so I apologize because I get a little fired up.
All right.
Oh, Eileen. Oh. Yep, stretch it out, Jules.
Oh! That's actually really impressive flexibility.
I think I pulled my hamstring with that one.
Eileen, you are about to go head-to-head with Julie in a trivia game.
Good luck.
Oh, God.
There will be 5 questions, best of 5 wins, all multiple choice. most important part of the game is which squeaky toy you will choose to squeak in with your answer. So we have options.
Okay.
We have the...
Very important choice.
I know.
Robin Roberts boar.
Okay.
We have the Billie Jean King elephant or the OG blue dog.
Ooh, guys, the pressure. I don't know if I can handle this pressure. This is like... All right, I think I'm going to go for the Billie Jean King
elephant. Oh, I knew it! You were going with Kinger!
Yes.
All
this
right.
This is
I'm going with Robin Roberts, baby.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh. Yours has got some, like,
this
timbre.
Could be a problem.
Like, there's some, like, deep timbre to it.
Excuse me. Okay.
Every game has a theme. This theme is Stanford Superstars.
Oh
my God.
I never know the theme, by the way.
I haven't studied for this test. My, like, inner nerd is freaking out right now.
I'm starting to sweat.
All of the questions are about Stanford athletes, and all of these athletes have appeared on Laughter Permitted, in case you'd like to go and listen to their episode.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
At any point, if you know the answer, you can squeak in at any point. All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question one. Swimmer Katie Ledecky made an appearance in the famed Stanford marching band.
Oh, she did?
And you can too. You can too. What instrument did she play?
Ooh.
Was it A, the French horn, B, the alto sax, or C, the xylophone?
All right, you got it.
I learned this lesson. I get it wrong, and then it's 50-50 on the next one.
I'm going
alto sax.
Correct.
Oh, yes!
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
I told you, sorry. I got
All right.
You.
Question two. What was basketball player Nneka Agumake's major at Stanford?
Oh my God.
God.
Was it A, psychology, B, Greek literature, or C, biomed engineering? Eileen.
I have no idea. I just wanted to squeak it first.
Yep.
Love it.
Good strategy.
I'm going to go...
You got this.
Psychology?
Yes.
Oh, look at Lynn was so excited.
Let's go.
She always gets
I want
so
to study psychology.
Yes, get
it's
it
so
right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do.
That's okay. Good. Well done.
Question three. According
good show of sportsmanship here.
According to her Stanford bio, how tall is swimmer Simone Manuel? Is it A, 5'9", B, 5'11", or C, 6'1"?
5'11".
Correct.
Oh.
I had no idea. I just thought if I said it
feel
with
the pressure.
I just thought if I said it with confidence
this
that it would make it correct.
Really good. That was really confident.
What question four? What is softball player Jessica Mendoza's middle name?
Oh.
Is it A, Jasmine?
Oh.
B, Lucille? Or C, Ophelia?
Come on, Robin!
Julie?
Wait, give me the choices again, please. I just wanted to get in!
Oh my God. What is this legal?
Jasmine?
Jessica Jasmine? No.
Lucille or Ophelia?
Ophelia. Lucille?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Jasmine or Ophelia?
Jasmine.
Incorrect.
We're alive! Okay, last one,
Ophelia.
Last one.
How many NCAA titles did water polo player Maggie Steffens win in her college career? Okay. Was it A, 2, B, 3, or C, 5?
Oh,
I think it was a tie.
I think it was,
that was a definitely
give it to
a
the
tie.
Guest. Ties go to the guest.
Wow, this is very civil. I was expecting more of a, some more fight from this.
I
okay.
know.
She's actually being strategic.
It is, actually.
I know. So...
Oh, yeah.
So is it 2, right. 3, or 5?
I'm going to go 3.
Yes!
Oh!
When in doubt, pick C.
I was going to say 2 anyways. Yes! Well done.
Thank you.
Shoot. Most pressing questions. Are you ready? Lynn, you're first.
Who is more competitive, you or your grandmother?
This is so difficult. I'm going to say my grandma. I'm going to say my grandma because, wait, that wasn't a trivia question, right?
We're moving on.
That is incorrect. okay, so, wait, so did I win?
Yes.
Oh my God, Eileen,
you are the winner.
Thank you.
And you get a donut.
Oh my God.
You get a donut.
Okay.
You know you want it.
Thank you so much. Okay, wow. I'm going to go for the chocolate one.
Oh, you're going chocolate cream. That's a bold move.
I know. I'm
like
feeling
it.
Feisty today. Okay, wait. I'm going to put this here because you're going to want to hear the story about my grandma. All
right. I want to hear. I'm going to eat.
I say this because in skiing, I am incredibly competitive. No question. But outside of it, I'm like very normal, right? My grandma, on the other hand, everything is a competition. Like everything. When I was little and I was like sleep over at her house, she'd be like, all right, competition. Let's see who can fall asleep first. Maybe this is like a goal for her to like calm down like a rowdy little kid, but it worked, right? Because then I'm like, ooh, like I'm gonna beat you, like I'll show you, and then I'm like laying there. So there's that. So yeah, my grandma is incredibly competitive, and yeah, maybe that's where I get my drive to win. But she's
Grams is here with you too. Not here, but she's in New York City with you, which
is
fun.
Exactly.
All right, you're known as the Snow Princess. I saw. Do you have any other nicknames? Because we have some for you if you want.
You do? Okay. Yeah. I'll go first, and then you can like crown me with like, what is it called when you like get knighted? Like you know what I mean?
Knighted.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like you have like a ceremony of like giving you a new name. Anyways. So my nickname with my mom is, it's in Chinese, it's rolled hole, which means meathead. And I've always had this nickname.
Wait, say that again.
The nickname?
Yeah.
Roll toll. Yeah, roll toll. And so I've always had this nickname, right? And so I didn't really question it until I think I was maybe 12 or 13. And it was actually kind of a joke because my friends would call me like twig or stick because I was really thin. And so I was like, why am I called meathead? Like, I'm so confused. The dichotomy here is just so interesting. We can like dive into this, you know, like why?
Snow princess, meathead.
Meathead, yeah. So my mom was like, oh, it's because when you were little, you were really fat because your grandma, and when I would stay over with my grandma, she'd be like, oh, last bite, I promise. Like, oh wait, no, this one's really good. You have to have a bite of this. Here, have a bite of it. You're too skinny. Have another bite. And so she would like sit me on the couch and I was just like this ball. Like I was like a horizontal thing. And so she was like, oh my God, look at her head. She's so round. She's meathead. And so that's where that comes from. And then now the joke actually is, as my revenge, I call all of them Roto as well. So we all just call each other Roto. And so I'll be like, hey, Roto. And she's like, what, Roto? And so we're just, it's a very odd dynamic. But yes, so that's one.
I thought Guminator.
Guminator. Okay. That one goes.
Not feeling it?
I mean, it goes, it's a little long. I don't know, like, syllabically, like, how we can work with that. You know what I mean?
All right, mine is Julia Gulia. No? Is it going to stick? Come on, have you seen Wedding Singer?
No.
Oh, Eileen, you haven't lived. Come on. All right. Last segment we do on the pod is something called High Low Cheer.
Okay.
This is something I do typically around the dinner table with my kids. They're high of the day, they're low of the day, someone that they cheer for to show gratitude for someone else.
You can feel it. Oh, I love that. I love that.
But for you, we're going to do the high, low cheer of your career. So high of your career, low of your career, and the cheer is for someone who's helped you along the way.
Okay. The high of my career, honestly, I think is now. And I say this because a lot of people expect me to say it was my gold medal, my first gold medal, my second gold medal, whatever. But I think, honestly, like I said before, I had those experiences and I will treasure them forever. Obviously, it's the happiest moment of my life was when I landed that 1620. But I think in terms of my career, what I want to be remembered for is not just doing a really cool flip that one time. I want to be remembered for having a legacy. And I want to do something, and I want one young girl somewhere to say, because of Eileen, my life changed, or because of Eileen, my relationship with sport changed, my relationship with beauty changed, my relationship with whatever. If I can have that one impact, that is what I'm doing this for. And so I think in that sense, the high of my career is now, because I'm getting all these amazing opportunities, like coming on this podcast with two incredibly accomplished and empowered women to be able to talk about something like this. And I think that that is the most meaningful thing to me. So the high of my career is that. The low of my career, I'm going to be honest, it's the hate mail. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's easy to just be like, just don't care. But God, like, I'm 18. There are thousands of people online literally bullying me. You know, it's insane. And people just, a lot of people, maybe they don't know what they're talking about or whatever, but just reading stuff, even if you have 100 positive comments and you have 10 negative comments, right? If you're walking down the street and someone's like, I like your outfit, you're like, cool, nice, you feel good for a couple of minutes. But if you walk down the street and someone's like, God, what are you wearing? Like, you look horrible. Right. You remember that. You remember that. You're like, God, I'm never going to wear this outfit again. And so that really can stick with you. And so for me, I have the privilege of being surrounded by really positive and supportive people like my family and my friends, and to kind of support me through that. But yeah, it is difficult.
Do you try and just put blinders on, or do you, I mean, everyone has their own different approach. Like, some people want to shoot back at them, which I think expends a lot of energy.
It does expend a lot of energy.
And then it just riles them up even more. But how do you get yourself to a place where you can move forward without it being a detractor?
I'm so tempted to just, like, keyboard warrior right back.
Yeah.
But I can't, first of all, because I just do not have the time to go through like thousands and thousands of messages and just individually hate back at them. But then secondly, it's like, why? You know, if my message is to spread positivity, to live my own life and to make my positive impact, responding to them doesn't serve me unless I feel like I can change something about the situation. Yeah. And most of the time I can't. And so it's more just like finding a way to be at peace with that, which I'm still learning and I'm still working on. And it's not easy, but yeah, I try to surround myself with positivity and just, you know, be me and they can be them.
And then your cheer is the last thing.
My cheer, I have to say my mom. It's serious.
Yeah, yeah. Mom.
It definitely is my mom. Yeah. Because, I'll tell you why. Growing up, I have always been, a lot of the time, I'm the youngest in the room, or the youngest at the competition. And so what that means is a lot of the time, I was the only one with a parent traveling with me. And in the beginning, I was like, Mom, stop. That's not cool. The other kids on the team are going to think I'm lame because my mom's traveling with me. But then I was like, okay, wait, hold on. I'm sleeping like 80% more than these kids. I'm eating these amazing home-cooked meals. I'm, you know, have this awesome supporter who I can call in between runs, or who actually puts in so much time and effort to not only understand what I'm doing, but also to support me on every level. Sometimes it's easy to say, okay, this is how my psychology works. This is what I think when I'm competing. But your emotions do get in the way sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if you don't land a run, it's easy to be like, get in your own head. And so my mom, because she spent so much time with me, she knows what I would say to myself. And it's almost like having a second me to be able to tell me really what I need to hear on a emotional, on a mental, and a physical level. And so for that, I'm super grateful. And then the other thing is just like, she's my mom, you know? She's the best mom. Everyone's mom is the best mom to them. And so to me, she has just gone above and beyond in every way, from driving 4 hours each direction every weekend just so I can go skiing when I was little, all the way to coming to all of my contests and listening to me when I'm telling her the breakdown of all of my workouts and knowing every trick by name. She's by far the most, like, she knows all the tricks. She can call every trick, and that's not easy. You know, a lot of parents are like, wow, that was a cool like flip, and my mom's like, oh, you mean the double quirk 1440 that she just did, the long held safety grab, like, you know. She's like, yeah, that landing was so steezy. Oh God, Mom.
She's got the lingo down.
She's got it down.
That's so, what sets you apart.
Cheer my mom for sure.
Yay for moms. I do wish we had like a little crystal ball that we could see into your future, because if the next 3 years is anything like the last three, the way you've been crushing it, then we're going to take credit for you running the world and say it happened here on this podcast. Aww. We set the stage for it. Congratulations at 18 years old on a fantastic career so far and so much to look forward to going forward. Big round of applause, please, for Eileen Go.
Thank you.
18 years old. I just want to say that again. Because, oh my gosh, she is so poised. Mm-hmm. Ah, she was using words that I was like, wait, what did that mean? I'm not even going to ask because I'm supposed to know what that means. Takeaways, Lynn.
Eileen's story of landing a trick, and I appreciate that you unpacked that as you said you were interested in doing. Landing a trick she never even tried reminded me of the saying, leap and the net will appear. And that reminded me of Jessica Mendoza way back in season one. She talked about that same concept of going for it, not knowing what the outcome will be, but that it will work out.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to high school, my high school years, I had a phrase, you never know unless you go, is what I used to say all the time.
That's great.
You never know unless you go. That was always my refrain to all my friends when they were like, no, we can't do that. I'd be like, you never know unless you go. Even better, as I was thinking of Eileen, unless you let go. So hard in the moment, as so many of us live through, to summon the courage, to not talk yourself out of it, to literally let go and trust in you. And I hope this story that Eileen shared reminds everyone that if Eileen can do it with all the pressure of the world literally on her, then you too can let go and show yourself what's possible. And I think you'll find that you will surprise yourself.
I like that, Jules.
Good questions one. Permitted, Lynn.
All right. At Beth Lila from Insta wonders.
Beth Lila.
Beth underscore Lila. If you were playing today, what professional team would you want to play on?
Oh, come on. That's not even fair.
Is that low-hanging fruit at this point?
Yeah. I mean, come on. I don't have to say it because, you know, I own the whole team. Or maybe, you know, 0.001% of it. But Angel City, of course.
Maybe they can sign you to a nice 10-day contract, get you in there. Do they have those in NWSL? 1 hour contract? 1 game contract?
There would need to be paramedics on the sideline.
I think you could hang.
Stretcher. Oh, no, I could not even hang for 0.2 seconds. It's so bad. Those women are strong and fast and fierce. I'm seeing them up close. I'm like, wow, they're tall and big. And it's amazing what they do. So thank you for that, Lynn. That's very nice of you. But Angel City. I mean, I love so much about it. So that's where everyone should want to play. So come on, come play for us. Lynn, where would you want to play?
Seattle Storm, this season in particular. But going back to the Angel City and your self-doubt a little bit, you never know unless you go.
You never know.
You've got the founders on speed dial.
I do feel like my 18-year-old self sometimes. You know, I have discovered that refrain at 51 on a mountain bike isn't always the best thing to say to yourself. That refrain while you're snowboarding a little half pipe from the canyon isn't such a great refrain to know because I go. I still go. That's the problem.
You're still standing, my husband.
Yeah, as Ian, my husband, says to me, honey, just a friendly reminder, you are not 21 anymore. I'm like, yeah, good point, good point.
Jules, I need to circle back to one thing. I feel like as the creator host of the Lynn Game that I have become so biased toward the guest, and I really let that through on this particular game. So I'm dedicated from now on to be way less biased toward the guest. I feel like that's only fair to you.
Right. Now that we have one episode left in the season. And I've been crushed 8 out of 9 times. You're now coming to this, Lynn?
It's not to say I won't inside root for the guests, but I think I was a little over-enthusiastic with wanting Eileen to win. And I apologize. I need to be way more even.
I accept that. She's a teenager. I was kind of nice. I would have been much more brutal if she was, say, 20, not a teenager.
But this is just some self-awareness at play here on my behalf.
Well, thank you for that honesty. I wouldn't even mind if you just completely came to my side and didn't even care about the guests. So you don't even have to keep it somewhat fair. I'm good with that.
Well, I keep the questions fair, but I need to wrangle it in a little bit. I'm going to wrangle it in.
Okay. All right. That is another episode of Laughter Permitted in the books. Thank you so much to our village for listening. Thank you to our sponsors as well, Ally and Dick Sporting Goods. And of course, to Kate Diaz for our incredible theme music, which she wrote and composed. And remember, kids, as always, sing it with us. Laughter Permitted.
You like launch off of it like a friggin' rocket ship.